Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sucker! Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. If you want to get on the stream, here's a real good way to do it. Here's a real, real good way to do it. Andrew has just popped up on the stream and said, Rob kind of looks like Les Claypool. That's a real good way to get your comment and your face shown on the Facebook stream, is to say something awesome like that.
All right, so I had to look up who Les Claypool is.
He's from the band Primus.
Okay, all right. So I knew I had heard the name before.
Founder, lead singer, and bassist of Primus, which is not a spectacular band.
Not a big Primus fan, but Les looks good for 61, and you look exactly like him right now. I just want to say, I don't know what that means.
And then Andrew immediately undoes it by saying, Primus sucks.
Yeah, I'm sure Diesel, a big Primus fan, but no.
I appreciate that.
I bet.
I do like Primus.
I will say Cole probably has no idea who that is. So there's that too.
I do like Primus, but I will take the Rob looks like Les Claypool comment every day. All right. Welcome in. Final hour of the Rob Brown Show underway. Talking a lot of college football here on the radio program this AM. Should you wish to be a part of the show, now is an opportunity to do it. 844-326-3663. I am going to keep it a buck with you. I asked a question earlier in the show, and I invited you to text your answers to the Hub City Spartanburger text line at 844-326-3663. This is, to me, a very exciting time in the college football calendar. We are 23 days away from the first Thursday night, where we've got five college football games on tap. And I have already made the plan that some point between here and there, your boy is going to, I don't know if the right word is renovate, but I'm gonna retool the bro cave. Because right now, the 75-inch is sitting on an entertainment stand. And what I've decided that I am going to do for this upcoming football season is I am going to mount the 75-inch on the wall, and then I am going to put three more 40-inch TVs around it. I'm going to build, finally, my wall OTV. Because on opening night, on that Thursday in 23 days, I very, very much wish to have the ability to put all five games on at the same time and watch them. Even though they are staggered throughout the day, I very much want to have that ability. So, as we inch ever closer to the beginning of the college football season, I have asked you Clemson fans, I have asked you South Carolina fans, what are your honest thoughts on, expectations for, questions about, not your program? That will be what we do all week long next week on the show. When we are inside of 2 weeks remaining to the college football season next Thursday, we will have this conversation all week leading up to and through next Thursday when we get to that 14-day mark. But today, I do not ask about your program. I have said a few times about both of the major college football schools that we cover. I feel like Clemson and South Carolina, there are some major differences between the two. I do think on paper, Clemson is a more talented football program. I do think on paper that as of right now, though I have heard some pretty good reports about Nick Harbor and his progression this offseason, I do think there is more weaponry to be worked with for Cade Klubnik at Clemson. I do think the offensive line at Clemson is better. However, I would also point out that that has arguably been true about the Gamecocks and the Tigers the last couple of years, and Clemson has gotten a couple of dubs.
Well, the sample size is still small in Lenore Sellers. We know what we have with Kay Klubnik. He started out as a handoff machine, and he has improved every single year. There's no doubt about it that he has, sometimes with suspect receivers, sometimes with good receivers. What percentage would you say he has improved from year one to where he is now?
Oh, dramatically. It's well north of 70% improvement.
And I know I made fun, but listen, I made fun because it was true. That's basically, they didn't trust him enough to let him throw the ball, and now they do. And now, as you've mentioned many times, that Dabo wants him to run the ball more. Obviously, he is talented, but I would think that there is trepidation.
There it is.
From all, so if I can't
that
do
country,
it,
that I got, country turret striping up again.
Well, that's the only way sometimes I can pronounce things. From Clemson fans thinking, oh no, we got another one who can't, who's not going to amount to anything. And, you know, their Mount Rushmore is two players, and it's Sunshine and it's Deshaun Watson. And they have to compare every quarterback to those guys and what they were able to do. And that's a tall mountain. And the fact that he has improved so much between year one to where he is now, that's got to be exciting for Clemson fans.
I don't disagree at all. But I had a conversation yesterday, day before yesterday, about the Panthers. Because I issued my take on whatever show it was. Oh, BetMGM Tonight, last Friday
night. This is what happens when you're on so many shows that you can't remember what
yeah.
one you were on.
No, I know. I was on BetMGM Tonight.
No. Just say no.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm an attention hog. Thank you. So I was on BetMGM Tonight, and we were doing an NFC South breakdown. Since I was on the show, covered the NFC South primarily, they held that preview for me to do with Ryan Horvath. And basically the production staff was peppering me with questions about the division to come up with what preseason futures everybody was going to bet on this division. And obviously, and this is about Cade Klubnik, though I'm going to mention Bryce Young, stick with me. The conversation about Bryce Young was, do we genuinely believe that Bryce Young will have taken a dramatic step forward? And my answer was, yes, I genuinely do believe that. And I made the argument that I have been making about some other guys aside from Bryce Young. I have made this about Justin Fields. I have made it about Trevor Lawrence. I have made it about Caleb Williams at Chicago. In that, I think sometimes we look at, with young quarterbacks, we look at guys who out of the draft, and this is fair. If you are a quarterback drafted in the top four or five selections, you are expected to be a franchise quarterback. But when we talk about franchise quarterbacks, we very much, and I think, unfortunately, put the emphasis on the quarterback and franchise quarterback and not the franchise. I think we just have this expectation that if a guy shows up and was a highly touted top 1, 2, 3, 4 draft pick, that he is going to be so talented that he can overcome a bad franchise around him. And I made the point that if I look back at Bryce Young's rookie year, a year in which he was labeled a bus before he ever got going. A bust, not a bus. That's Jerome Bettis. A bust. Before he ever got going.
A little bus.
No, we're going to stop right there.
I mean, like a Volkswagen, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Small
for
bus.
Sure. Yeah. So he first year gets labeled a bust before he ever got going. And I asked one of the guys that was on the air that said, I do not believe that Bryce Young is going to be the guy. His take on the increase in accomplishment, whatever you want to call it, for Bryce Young last year, he said, this is not about Bryce Young being better than we thought he was going to be. This was simply about the fact that in the back half of the year, nobody was taking the Carolina Panthers seriously. They were a warm-up game for whoever is next, yada, yada, yada. And I said, that's all well and good. I said, but I'd like you to go back. I said, go back to Bryce Young's rookie year when the cat was called a bust before he ever got the opportunity to do anything in Carolina. Who was his head coach? Frank Reich. Now, Frank Reich was still at the time considered a quarterback whisperer amongst head coaches in the NFL. But Frank Reich had also gotten fired from the Indianapolis Colts. And a lot of people looked at the time, the late Jim Irsay, and said he's in that David Tepper camp of owners who just won't get out of the way. They're the smartest guy in every room, and if you don't believe him, just ask him. If he said Frank Reich's not the guy, there's probably more on him than Frank Reich. But then Frank Reich got to Carolina. And I very clearly and distinctly, after the first couple of press conferences, remember coming on these airwaves and going, listen, I don't need every coach to be rah-rah, shish, boom, bah. I don't need every coach to be nothing but gas, all gas, no brakes. But man,
You know what I mean?
I see no world in which Frank Reich is inspiring a locker room. It's the most god-awful, monotone, boring takes, coach speak I've ever heard. And it turns out I may have been onto something there. But I said, put that aside. In Bryce Young's opening year, do you remember who wide receiver one was? Who was the guy? Don't worry, I'll remind you if you don't. DJ Chark. Where's DJ Chark right now? Hell, where was DJ Chark last year? Where was DJ Chark the year before that?
He's still in the league, by the way. I heard his name mentioned like the other day.
Yes, so. Because I believe Buffalo or Denver picked him up. I could be wrong about that. I don't remember because DJ Chark's a non-factor. Who else was that guy? Terrace Marshall Jr., who the Panthers sent out of town on a rail in return for a pack of bubblegum. Who else was there? Adam Thielen, who, yeah, broke into and played that number one role very well. But Adam Thielen, 2 years ago, was the best wide receiver they had on that team. He was never given a chance in year one. Then you go back and you look at last year's Carolina Panthers. And yes, by the time that Bryce Young broke in, Bryce Young was in a better spot. But again, I go back to the wide receiver core. Rookie Jalen Coker, rookie Xavier Leggett, David Moore, and Adam Thielen. Now, I think Coker's still going to be a guy. I pray Xavier Leggett's a guy because I want that guy around for as long as we can have him. But the point is, still, even the uptick in performance at the end of the year, I can't put it on the guys that were around him. That's why I think BY is going to be better this year. I look at Cade Klubnik to some degree. And I go, all right, this is a dude that 2 seasons ago, when he was truly QB1, a larger than you will acknowledge number of you, Clemson fans, we're calling this radio show and going, this guy's a bum. Run him out of town on a rail. He's never going to be our guy. And then last year, a smaller percentage of you, but a non-negligible percentage of you, were calling and texting and tweeting the show and saying, Rob Brown, he has not progressed the way that a Clemson man at QB should progress. Run him out of town on a rail. He's a bum. And Dabo said, you're all wrong. Watch this. And now Cade Klubnik comes into this year as a Heisman Trophy possibility. So why did I bring up the Bryce Young stuff? Because I would make the argument that just like I have said, not that Clemson is a dumpster fire of a franchise like Carolina was up until the end of last year. But I would make the argument that the argument about the talent that Bryce Young was given in year number one, much like I've said about Caleb Williams, much like I've said about Trevor Lawrence at Jacksonville, much like I've said about Justin Fields and in his time also in Chicago, the talent that he was given to operate with can limit you. The expression that I have used, the metaphor, the analogy that I have used over the years is this. You could give me Dale Earnhardt Sr., Jimmy Johnson, Richard Petty, whoever you think is the greatest NASCAR driver of all time. I could give you the greatest NASCAR driver of all time. But if I stuck him behind the wheel of a Nissan Altima, he's not winning the Daytona 500. He could be the greatest to ever wheel. But if I put him in equipment that can't keep up, it does not matter how talented the guy is. Last year, he had some upgraded equipment. Bryce Young looked like a better guy. This year, he's got the best equipment he's had since he's been a player in the league. And I think he'll look the best he's looked in the league. This year, Cade Klubnik has, without question, as far as receivers go, not tight end, not running back, but as far as primary pass catchers go, I do not think you will find anyone in the country who will make the argument that Cade Klubnik has anything but the best pass catchers around him that he's had in his 3 years as a starter at this point for Clemson. But that also means the expectations are up. That also means that a guy who last year had a stellar season at quarterback, maybe he didn't get the results that you wanted to get, but it wasn't because Cade Klubnik didn't have a year. He absolutely did. 4,102 total yards, 43 total touchdowns, 36 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. And he did it with that group of talent. Imagine what he's going to do this year now that that group of talent and its additions have another year of XP under the belt, have another offseason working with Cade. And oh, by the way, in case you don't already follow them, I follow Clemson's social media feeds. And granted, propaganda extravaganza, that's what social media is. It is only to give you the best of whatever the social media account is about. Clemson football, my life, whatever. It's only going to give you the best of the best. But if you watch these little videos they're putting out, the team has gravitated to him, around him. I was watching this team away from the media at ACC Media Days, and it did not matter where Clemson went. It was Cade Klubnik walking up front and the rest of the guys following him wherever he went. And I include Dabo Swinney in that group. He was the guy. So, my roof expectation for Cade Klubnik is win the Heisman and be the first overall draft pick in next year's NFL draft. The floor, however, is this team can't get the run game going. The run game of Clemson can be stopped with a base defense. If the run game is stopped by the base defense and teams can close the pocket around Cade Klubnik, he may not have as much time in a clean pocket as I'd like. And if that ends up being the case, Cade Klubnik is dangerous because of mobility. That's why he's dangerous. Good passer. He's dangerous because of the mobility. Either the mobility or the threat of it on any given snap. If that is taken away from him because Clemson cannot move the ball on the ground, then I think Cade may have seen his roof last year. And I think last year, which was a great year, last year may have been the roof. It may be like, just try to get back to those numbers. That's the floor for me, is last year's numbers. Ceiling is win the Heisman. I've already told you, I went up to North Carolina a few weeks ago. I logged a few college football bets. I have a Heisman bet on both the quarterbacks from major schools in this state. I have a Heisman bet on Lenoris at 18.5-1. I have a Heisman bet on Cade Klubnik. I think I got it at like 9-1. Those numbers have both moved up, by the way. The expectations have grown. But that's my ceiling and floor for Cade Klubnik. We'll do Lenoris Sellers coming up here in just a little while. But I asked for your opinion, and so far, I have gotten like 3 of you. I can't imagine that there's not more college football fans, more Gamecock fans, and more Tiger fans out there listening right now that have thoughts. So, personal challenge to you, the Armada, right this very second. 844-326-3663. That is the Hub City Spartan Burger text line. What is your ceiling, and what is your floor for Lenoris Sellers and for Cade Klubnik in 2025? We'll take another look at the top 25 poll. I got some NFL thoughts and a couple of rando stories as we roll through the final hour of the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kick. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. The Fan Upstate, Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. 844-326-3663 is the number. 844-FAN-FONE. That is the number to the Hub City Spartan Burgers text line. Shoot a text to that number. I'll read it on the air. Shoot a phone call to that number. I will put you on the air. Here are some of the texts that we have gotten in so far on the show. Texter said, cherry or blue raspberry slushy is definitely the way to go. Cherry guy.
Not lemonade. And, you know, Chris Miller, the famous Chris Miller from, you know, Columbia and big time star award winner, agrees with me that cherry's the way to go.
Cherry is a good way to go. Blue raspberry is a great way to go. I am going to say lemonade's the right way to go if it's hot outside and you're outside. Lemonade's a great way to go.
Lemonade just makes you thirstier.
I mean, it may make you thirstier. Lemonade is a fantastic thirst quencher, and in slushy form, it's perfect when it's 100 degrees outside.
Anything that's sour makes you more thirsty.
Again, maybe you, not me. I love lemonade on a hot day. It's the best.
I don't know why you want to fight about lemonade. I mean,
well, because you're saying this is what it does to you. I'm telling you it doesn't. It's great. I love lemonade.
Okay.
Now, I will say this. The classic, a classic, is a Coke Icy. That might be the goat slushy, is a Coke Icy. But I will also tell you that at the movie theater the other day, they had one. I didn't get it, but I'm tempted to go back down there just to get one. They had a white cherry Icy. I might go bananas on that.
So how do you know when the syrup's run out? Because you could tell when the Cokes ran out. That's just, you know, it's just the plain white stuff.
I'm going to put my hands and my life into the movie theater concession stand employees that they've got it down to a science. We'll find out. We were talking about it because RFK Racing, which is where Ryan Preece raced, RFK Racing put a slushy machine into their NASCAR hauler. And my takeaway from that was very simply, I don't know who's a butt I got to kiss around here to get a slushy machine in the studio, but I will kiss it squarely and firmly.
You know what we need? We need a 7-Eleven sponsorship, and they can just bring one in.
Make it happen, great one. You've got you're the influencer around here. Make it happen. I'm here for a slushy machine in studio. Brian texted the show, said, Rob, you can get a slushy machine on the TikTok shop. I'm not going to lie. I had a whole conversation with Zoe yesterday about the TikTok shop.
I was unaware that this thing existed, and now I know.
I am going to keep it a buck with you. I did, too, until about a handful of weeks ago when I was introduced to the TikTok shop. And what won me over was a air conditioner vent mounted crash cymbal. So when you're driving your car and you're playing drums on the steering wheel, now you have a cymbal to hit. And I know it is going to cause two things. Number one, it is going to cause me to drive my car more than I've ever driven it before, because I'm going to listen to In the Air tonight about 1,000 times. Number two, it's going to cause me to get a divorce, because my wife hates my steering wheel drum set. She's going to lose her mind when I have a steering wheel drum set cymbal. But number two, there's a lot of dumb stuff on there that I have to actively and repeatedly talk myself out of wasting money on. If there is a slushy machine on there that has good reviews that I can pick up and not spend a paycheck on it and pop it here into the studio, it's going to happen. And for the record, I don't want one of these slushy machines where it's like, you know, take the fruit, put it in there, put the ice in there, and then push the button and blend it. No. I want one that I turn it on, I dump my flavor beverage of choice in, and then it just makes me a slushy. All right? I don't want to bring a ninja bullet up in here. I want a slushy machine like I'm at a gas station, but on demand.
Sounds like a job for an intern. I mean, you know, make me a slushy, intern.
Well, get me a slushy machine and an intern.
And we'll let you on the air for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Without a doubt. Texter says, Rob, I refuse to believe that Cade will do anything but underwhelm. I'm just not buying the hype. I do not blame Anybody whose take right now on Cade Klubnik is, I'm not buying the hype. Because the hype was there last year as well. Now, I do think it is important to point out, statistically speaking, Cade Klubnik had a real good year last year. Statistically speaking, Cade Klubnik, the reason for the hype this year is that Cade Klubnik last year looked a hell of a lot better. But I think it is also fair to point out that Cade Klubnik looked a hell of a lot better, and Clemson did win the ACC, but they did so with a handful of losses. They went into the college football playoffs. They got absolutely worked in their first, last, and only game so far in the 12-team playoff. So I think it is fair to push the pause button, which is what I have done. It is not a Cade can't do it take from me right now, because I clearly think he can. Again, I've got a Heisman bet on Cade Klubnik to win it. I put a Palmetto State bet down on both guys that the Heisman Trophy is coming back to South Carolina in 2025 in the hands of either Lenora Sellers or Cade Klubnik. I believe he has the talent, the capability, and this year the weaponry. But I do not think, especially considering he's going to have to do it out of the gate. And, you know, we talked earlier this week about that week one game against LSU. LSU this year is going to have a very unique defense, a defense that will be, I think, largely unlike anything else that Clemson will see throughout the course of the regular season, because LSU is working with that star position player. Good pass rush out of the defensive ends, including Patrick Payton, who transfers over from Florida State. He was expected to be a monster there. Obviously, it didn't work. They went 2-10. The question mark is asked about Patrick Payton, and it is fair. Is he there because he wants to get paid, which is the belief of or about a lot of guys on that Florida State defense last year? Or is he there because he believes LSU's got a shot at a natty and he wanted to be a part of it? I don't know. What I do know is that Blake Baker, the defensive end at LSU, is going to run a very unique offense at Clemson. They run a 3-3, but sometimes it's a 3-4, sometimes it's a 4-3, sometimes it's a nickel, sometimes it's a dime, because they've got a cat in the middle, and I've already told you about Harold Perkins, to keep your name your eye on that name in week number one. He plays what's called the star. Sometimes he's going to be a walked-up middle linebacker in a 3-4, sometimes an edge rusher in a 3-4 or 4-3 hybrid. Sometimes he's going to drop off and play DB. He's going to line up on most snaps at kind of the 3.5 level. He's not really going to be with the linebackers in level 2, but not really at level 3. He's going to be in the 2.5 level. He's going to be halfway between the linebackers and the DBs, and he's going to run up or drop back depending on the play call. If Cade Klubnik has success in week number one against LSU, when he faces a very good defense, on paper, the best defense Brian Kelly's put out so far, and a defense that is built to confuse, it is built to have one guy that you do not know what he's doing, walking up and rushing, staying back in zone, dropping off into the deep zone, you do not know. If Cade Klubnik has success in week one against LSU, I will feel much better about my Heisman Trophy bet. But if he looks confused out of the gate, the blueprint's going to be out, and that could make for a long season. Probably not in conference, but could very well when they get down the stretch to take on South Carolina, when they get into the playoffs, assuming they win the ACC, against Texas or whoever, Georgia, they might line up against. So I think it is fair for this texter to say, the hype is overwhelming, and I'm not buying in yet. I'll tell you when I'll buy in. Halftime of week one, when I see what he does against LSU early. Take a break. We'll come back. Keep your texts coming. 844-326-3663. We'll read a few more. I got a couple of stories to hit on the way out. That's coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So you have Armada expressed some, let's say, somewhere between concern and cautious optimism about Cade Klubnik in 2025. And I think, honestly, that that is abundantly fair. I think it's fair. Again, statistically speaking, last year, Cade Klubnik had a, statistically speaking, very good year. Last year had a very good year. And to expect to run that back with a better set of wide receivers, however, with a downgrade at the running back position next to, behind, around him, I think is fair. But I would also ask the question. Last year, when this team had a workhorse back there in Phil Maffa, last year, when this team had a guy behind Cade that was not just a home run threat with the football, but was a brutalizing running back. And this year, rolling out a converted wide receiver, which, say what you wish, you're not going to convince me that that is insignificant. You're not going to convince me that 6'2", 225, not an undersized guy by any stretch of the imagination. But until I see it, and I doubt I'm going to, convince me that Adam Randall provides the same level of we better, even if Cade is clearly in the pocket to throw a pass, have eyeballs, have a dude locked in on that guy. Because if it's a draw play, if it's a delay, whatever, and we're not locked in on that guy, and he builds up ahead of steam, he is going to get through the line of scrimmage. I don't know that you have that this year. And I just don't know how that changes up the game. T-Swizzle points out Gideon Davidson. We talked about Gideon Davidson earlier. For Clemson's sake, I hope that this dude is the dude. I hope that this dude turns into that bowling ball. I hope that Gideon Davidson turns into the running back that he was recruited to be. I hope that he turns into the guy that can be the thunder in Thunder and Lightning. Here's the problem. He's smaller than Randall, 6 foot 200. Randall's still the power back for now. So with that being said, that big power threat back there ain't back there this year. And I think that that can very well impact how defenses attack Cade Klubnik. And is he able to respond to that? I don't know. We had a texter a minute ago say, and I was on the stream, I believe. Here it is from James. I'm kind of with that texter. Cade looks strong versus the ACC jobbers, but when the competition ramps up, it just ain't there. Look, I know the ACC right now, and we talked about this at Media Days in Charlotte a few weeks ago. I know right now the popular take is that the ACC just isn't that good. And I think it's a fair perception to have about the conference. But I'm also going to tell you that via conversations about the silver linings, optimistic potential outcomes for some of the other teams in this conference, I am not making the argument that the top teams of the ACC as a group are going to compare to the top teams of the SEC or the Big Ten by no stretch of the imagination. I'm not saying it's impossible that Clemson, Louisville, Miami, SMU. I'm not saying it's not possible that at the top of the list, perhaps, depending on what Clemson is, perhaps the ACC could look very similar to the Big Ten in that there's three or four, I do not think there will be three or four, but possibly three or four contenders up top and then a bunch of question mark slash bad teams down the line. But I will tell you, in talking about this conference on a number of shows, there are a lot of people who are very interested in Manny Diaz at Duke. That team won 9 games last year. Nobody's talked about it. Granted, they won it in the ACC, which is the reason I think nobody talks about it, because much as the SEC has always gotten the benefit of the doubt, well, they beat up on each other week in and week out all of the time, and that's fair. I think the conversation is kind of the antithesis for Duke. Yeah, they won 9 games, but like in the ACC where nobody beats up on each other. It's still a 9-win team. But the question is, was last year Manny Diaz the beneficiary of Mike Elko departing for Texas A&M and leaving the cupboard as stocked as it has ever been at Duke? Or did Manny Diaz learn his lessons at Miami? And is he a better head coach? I don't know the answer to that. North Carolina under Bill Belichick. I've already made my opinion known. I think it's going to be an abject failure. However, a lot of people don't. Lonzo being one of them. I think Ryan Horvat being one of them. He believes Bill Belichick is going to have this North Carolina team looking unlike any Tar Heel team of years gone by. Could North Carolina get into that mix? The point that I'm making in bringing it full circle back around to Cade and the Clemson Tigers is this. This conference might be better than it looks like it is on paper. If Manny Diaz is that guy at Duke, they're alive. If the Belichickian way works at North Carolina, even though there's no Omarion Hampton, they could be alive. If Brent Key is the guy that I think he is at Georgia Tech, which I'm comfortable saying already, he absolutely is. They took Georgia to 8 overtimes last year. Arguably the craziest game I've ever seen. If Georgia Tech has taken any sort of step forward this offseason under Brent Key, Georgia Tech is alive. Miller Moss comes over from USC and joins the Louisville Cardinals. I think he did so, not for money, obviously. You don't leave L.A. for Louisville, Kentucky for money. I think he went because he looks at Jeff Brohm, and Jeff Brohm's the type of dude who says, you got an arm? I'm going to use it. You're throwing 70 times a game, young man. And Miller Moss went, I might throw for 22,000 yards this season. If I'm right about that, Louisville's alive. If Mario Cristobal doesn't slam his own genitalia in the door in a big spot this year. Carson Beck was 24-3 before he left Georgia for the Bulldogs. Miami is alive. The point with all of that is this conference has gotten this narrative about it, the ACC, that it's just full of jobbers. And historically, that's not unfair. Historically, it's been Florida State, Clemson, and like Miami doing their annual We're Back song and dance. But the point I'm making here is, while none of them are necessarily going to look like the middle of the pack in the Southeastern Conference, I very much think it is possible for, not that this is the outcome, I think it is possible for the ACC to have a very similar look to the Big Ten. You got 2-3 teams on top that are national championship caliber. Louisville, ballpark, Clemson and SMU. Clemson, SMU, and Miami. I think any of those three. I think SMU's probably a little bit further away, even with Kevin Jennings, than they were last year. I'd have them more in the dark horse category. I think Clemson and Miami can both be title contenders. But hey, the Big Ten's got 3 teams that are title contenders. Penn State, Oregon, and Ohio State. I think Michigan has faded at least for 1 year, kind of off into the dark horse category for a year. I think it can look very, very similar. So, with that being said, I think that the assumption that Cade Klubnik is going to get away, which is beating up on a bunch of ACC jobbers, quote unquote, and padding the stats that way, may or may not be the case. What I will say is Clemson may have to score 35, 37, 42 a game in order to get there. Real quick, Brandon says, hot take, happy hour. Georgia Tech finishes in the top 5 of the ACC and ahead of Miami. I'm not willing to say ahead of Miami, Brandon. I am happy to tell you I do have Georgia Tech finishing 4th in the ACC this year. I think Brinke's a dude, and I think between Jamal Haynes and Haynes King, I think that team's going to take some people by surprise. I've been high on the wreck for a couple of years now. Love that team.
Keep your recreational activities off the air, please. All right, let's find out what is the first thing Xing today, and it is James Franklin.
James Franklin Xing. Did he do or say
no,
something?
No, it has to do with the rankings.
Aha! James Franklin and his Pennsylvania State University Nittany Lions ranked third in the coaches' poll release last night. They got 14 first-place votes. And, of course, the only conversation being had about Penn State this year is, can James Franklin get the old proverbial monkey off the back and drop the Big Game James moniker?
All right. The next thing is texting is El Grande Americano.
Okay. A very interesting point was made yesterday on a podcast that I stumbled across. Great one. Somebody pointed out that the first three wrestlers faced by Penta when he showed up were Chad Gable, Ludwig Kaiser, and
El Grande Americano.
There was actually one more, and there's a belief that there is a third El Grande Americano running around now.
All right, so apparently last night, I didn't get all the way to the end of Raw, there were three El Grande Americanos showed up last night. So triplets. I did
Correct.
Not know. I did not know there were triplets.
And I don't remember. Now, I don't recall who the third one was. But the point is, those three were Penta's first three opponents as a WWE wrestler. So there is now a belief, as we are getting deep into the conspiracy theories, and I am all the hell in on them, there is a belief that there is some connection that there is an El Grande Americano multiverse out there, and that Penta's the key to unlocking it. And I want you to know, Hunter, go as weird with this story as you want to go.
So I mean, Penta's an anchor being.
Yes.
Okay.
Penta right. is the anchor being of the El Grande Americano multiverse. Subscribe. I want the movies. I want the comic books. I want them all.
I guess we'll see what the future holds there. All right. The next thing that's Xing is King of the Hill.
King of the Hill Xing because there is a King of the Hill series. I believe it fires up today.
Yesterday.
Well, I know what I'm doing this afternoon.
And all episodes dropped on Hulu.
Hell yeah. I definitely know what I'm doing tonight. King of the Hill, I'm going to say, was one of my favorite shows of all time because the message of King of the Hill was always there are elements of that classic traditional Hank Hill style of family first, love first, work hard, America first. But also, it kind of poked away at some of the ridiculousness of going too far that direction and not being open to anything else. Hence, Bobby and John Redcorn and all these other cats that Mike Judge made. I genuinely believe this. King of the Hill is one of the smartest, most interesting adult cartoons of all time. And the fact that we get a grown-up Bobby Hill has been on the wish list for a long time. I am pumped. I love King of the Hill.
From what I understand, he's a chef. Two more. The next one is Kyle Schwarber.
Kyle Schwarber is Xing because Kyle Schwarber got big dong number 40 last night. Kyle Schwarber has hung 40 dongs so far this season for the Philadelphia Phillies. Got another one, and it was a moonshot. What's interesting about it is, coming up to the trade deadline, the belief was that the Phillies were going to re-sign Kyle Schwarber to a big-time extension because he is, again, the dong master for the Phillies, and they haven't yet, which has led some Philly fans to believe, are we blowing it up this year if we don't get it done? Kyle Schwarber is also the fastest to reach 40 home runs in Phillies history. He had two of them last night. Kyle Schwarber hung two dongs last night.
You make me uncomfortable sometimes. You went some places there that I did not know you
could
go.
He hit two home runs.
Okay, anyway, the final thing that's Xing is Bronson Reed.
I do not know why. I did say that Bron Breakker apparently was injured in the SummerSlam matchup, which means that you have Champ Seth Rollins, who may still or may not be hurt. But that means Big Bronson Reed's got to carry that faction.
No, Bronson Reed is a collector of shoes. Apparently, he got some more of Roman's last night.
Hell
so,
yeah. I don't know why I love that as much as I love
that. He's wearing them around his neck, too.
Paul was wearing the white pair at SummerSlam, I understand.
Yeah, it's
I don't know why. Scratch that. I do know why I do that. Because I have two pairs of Jordans, and I protect them with my life. They are in the box unless they are on my feet. And if they are on my feet, I'm not going anywhere that doesn't have concrete sidewalk, nothing else, no grass, no mud, no nothing. I get it. I like it. It's a dumb storyline. Wrestling's dumb, and that's why it's the best. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, it's your own problem. Come back tomorrow. We'll try harder in the midweek edition of the Rob Brown Show and the Fan of State. Later!
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.